Lighthouses have inspired our best songwriters, poets, and painters. They symbolize faithfulness, bravery, truth. Many families are like ships adrift in a troubled sea. A recent study showed that our teens prefer the traditional, stable, two-parent family modeled by Ozzy and Harriet in the 50s to the bizarre, dysfunctional family modeled by Ozzy Osbourne. But they have little hope their marriages will last. The dominant influences in their lives reinforce the message of moral ambivalence that has destroyed so many families in America. Our peer-sensitive kids are constantly barraged by messages of disdain for Christianity, and yet it is in Christianity that our families can find the help and support they need to achieve the family stability they desire. But there is a lighthouse for the family, shining the light of truth, piercing the darkness of deceit that has settled over our land, and that is why the word lighthouse is in our name. Visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedaravia Road in Santa Maria. Look for the Lighthouse. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Folks, I've had to do a couple of encores, and that's because, good night, I'm not going to try to explain all the things that have gone on. My friend having to have some things taken care of with his heart, and my computer needing a head transplant, and just one thing after another, it's been unreal. But it just seems like everything the devil can do, he has done to stop this particular show from getting out there, so I'm going to put it out there anyway. All right, well, let's get started with why it is important that Obama is given his eviction notice from the White House as soon as possible. Our Constitution stands as a wall, protecting our liberties. Obama seems to be testing its strength, and it seems that he is attempting to ascertain whether it is ready to collapse. I mean, it's like he purposely does stuff that is right on the edge of open defiance against the Constitution. He pushes his authority just a toe over the line, so to speak, and then he watches for the reaction, it seems, and then pushes a little harder next time. It's a technique taught by the likes of Alinsky. It is used to keep constant pressure against establishment structure. Now, an establishment structure is any institution that serves to support the established authority. The family is an established structure. The military, dedicated to preserving our way of life, is an important establishment structure. The Constitution is an establishment structure. Science is an establishment structure. Formal education is an important establishment structure. And, of course, the church is an important establishment structure. Now, this could get a bit tedious for some of you, but please give me your attention. I guarantee you it gets very interesting as we get deeper into this. Now, understand, an establishment structure is any institution that perpetuates the established authority. These institutions inculcate the values and pass on the beliefs that define and support the existing authority. Most of you are familiar with the basic outlines of our own history as a country. I mean, you are aware that our founders were all English subjects. They acknowledged an allegiance to the crown of the King of England. Their education inculcated into their culture the idea of the divine right of kings. This education was disseminated through formal and informal education. It was reinforced by the church, the family, and enforced by the military and other officers of law. However, certain ideas began to take hold among the people. Ideas like those espoused by John Locke, Montesquieu, in some significant measure championed by important political figures like Cromwell. Now, these ideas were corollary to the essential beliefs of certain religious so-called, at that time, heretics. People who rejected the arbitrary authority of the Pope and organized their congregations around the principle that every believer is a priest and endowed by their Savior with the individual right and divine enabling to read and interpret the Scriptures for themselves and to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience. These people taught soul liberty and freedom of the conscience, that all men were created equal in value and worth, and equally endowed with fundamental rights by God, being stamped with His image and likeness. They acknowledged the Bible was God's words, and that it taught what was universally observable, that because of sin, mankind was inherently sinful, naturally disposed toward selfishness and disobedience. And the Savior, Jesus Christ, had come to save them. Now, some of these ideas were held in common with other Christians, but these particular Christians believed that salvation was an act of God in response to the sinner's obedience to the gospel command to repent and believe on Jesus Christ, that no act of the church could save a soul, but each soul must of its own free will obey the gospel, that laws were established for the purpose of governing sinful men, that Christ Jesus, to whom has been given all authority in heaven and in earth, ordained human government for the purpose that it might execute wrath upon evildoers, and to protect persons and property, and their ideas began to take hold. Finally, these beliefs congealed into the political notion that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Now, the point is that by a change in the core beliefs of key people, a paradigm shift occurred in which we threw off the idea that all men are created to serve the pleasure of some divinely appointed earthly ruler, and embraced in its place the idea that all men are created equal to the King, that he is a man like any other, that he serves at the pleasure of the people, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Now, this effectively made God the only absolute ruler, with each man responsible ultimately and directly to Him who ruleth from the heavens. By making each person directly responsible to God for his conscience, and acknowledging that every man shared equally in the divine imagio, a system of governance by laws under the control of the people was devised, with protections against any individual or group of individuals being able easily to accumulate enough power to arbitrarily deprive the people of their liberties. Now, one thing about this system of governance that was recognized by all our founders was that it required a people that were self-governed by the Creator's moral code and sufficiently educated in order that they might act in the best interest of their liberties. A revolution was inspired by these beliefs. We call it the American Revolution. However, a counter-revolution began almost immediately. Some in America, from its earliest days, sought to bring the country back under a monarch. This counter-revolution has continued. Now listen closely here. A new American establishment was created. All social institutions were brought into alignment with the new order. Education taught the new creed. Churches taught it. Politicians governed by it. Our laws and police and military all served to support it and enforce it and perpetuate it. Our economic system was premised on these basic notions about human nature, individual responsibility, and freedom from oppression. All our institutions thrived and served, each in its own way, to inculcate the values of this system: freedom of religion, free speech, free press, a free market, and a restricted government. However, some in this country have continued to counter the revolution and labor incessantly to bring us back under some form of rule of man. To do this, they have attacked all our institutions. You see, you must destabilize the institutions of a culture in order to break down the established order. I'm going to explore this more later this year, but surely you understand that the revolution being called for today is not a revolution. It is a counter-revolution. It is an effort to systematically reverse the original American Revolution. They will try to say it is a continuation of that revolution, but that, my friend, is a lie. Those who want to overthrow the current establishment are in direct opposition to the original American Revolution. That should explode as a bomb of insight in your mind. Listen, what's going on today is not a revolution. It's a counter-revolution. It is an effort to undermine and reverse the original American Revolution. Now, again, I intend to explore this more with you in weeks to come, but let's get hold of something here. Obama is a counter-revolutionary. He believes in monarchy, and that is why he acts like one. He carries his office like an old-school European monarch. He thinks of himself as the great beneficent dictator. His life is dedicated to breaking down the established order. He began with his declaration that America is no longer a Christian nation. He is the most ardent supporter of abortion of any political leader since Blackmun legalized the shedding of innocent blood. And some arrogant GOP strategizers despise the silent scream of the infants and ask, you know, effectively, I read where, who cares about abortion? Yeah, it's more of a statement than a question, isn't it? Who cares about abortion? With their aloof sneer and dismissive attitude. Well, let me tell you who cares. God cares. If you refuse to support the right to life of the infant, listen, you refuse to protect the most helpless among us. God will give you into the hands of those who will take away your right to life, fella, liberty, and the pursuit of your happiness. The right to life is the most fundamental of all human rights. It is the first inalienable right mentioned in the Declaration, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know the Declaration that launched the American Revolution? When we turned our back on the right to life, we gave up our right to liberty and the right to pursue happiness. You think I'm overstating this, don't you? Okay. Well, you'll see. Right now, we are on the threshold of a collapse of our Constitution, which is the only thing standing between you and tyranny. This has been possible only because the counter-revolutionaries have succeeded at breaking down our commitment to the first principle of liberty, and that is the fundamental right to life, and abandoned society's obligation to protect that sacred right for the most vulnerable among us, an infant in the womb. Many believe they accomplished this by taking over the education of our children. Well, no doubt this was critical. But I'm going to surprise you. That is not how they succeeded. Many think they succeeded by working their way into the political systems of our country. Well, again, this they did do, and this has been a critical part of their plan, but that is not, ultimately, how they have achieved what they have achieved. I mean, we are literally on the brink of a full-blown counter-revolution, and we need to understand how they succeeded so we can know how to turn it around. My friends, it started in the churches. Oh, yeah. Every one of the trends we see taking us farther and farther away from our founding fathers began in churches departing from the Heavenly Father. You think not? Really? Okay, how many of you are disgusted with the fact that liberals or progressives in our court system have such disregard for the Constitution they interpret it in whatever way allows them to do what they want to do? You know, I think all conservatives would agree with me that this idea that the Constitution means whatever the jurist studying it decides it means is a problem. And this idea is firmly entrenched in the thinking of liberals or progressives today. They believe, as a tentative faith, that the Constitution is, quote, open to interpretation, end quote, and that it should be interpreted according to contemporary culture. Are you not aware that this is the exact same liberal notion that permeated the seminaries of our Protestant churches back in the 1800s? Yeah, and more importantly, are you not aware that recent polls show that most so-called evangelical Christians are virtually ignorant of the Bible, that they claim is a source of all their beliefs, and they don't believe it has absolute authority? Oh, yeah. They believe it's open to interpretation, that it means whatever anyone decides it means. And I ask you, if you believe there is a God in heaven who revealed himself to us through Scripture, what do you suppose would be his attitude toward your man-made constitution if you have such a cavalier attitude toward his word? Don't you find it interesting that the exact same ideas about the integrity of the Scripture and how it is to be interpreted and handled and its role in our lives, you know, that those ideas that were taught in Protestant seminaries back in the 1800s happen to be the exact, I mean, the same basic ideas that are used today to pervert the meaning of the language of the Constitution, and more recently, the same arguments that were used to dismiss the Bible as an objective absolute authority are now being used to dismiss the Constitution. You know, what you've heard him say, it's archaic, right? Times have changed. Some of you are beginning to see it. Think about it. Do you think God is going to listen to you as you pray that he will give us jurists who would respect the Constitution and interpret it within the context of the original intent and according to established laws of language, when you disregard his Scripture with such disdain and dismiss it as a controlling authority in your life? You're out of your ever-loving mind. I'm going to have to take a break. Here's what I want you to get hold of in this first show of the new year. We are facing a major move to reverse the original American Revolution. It is a counter-revolution. Its objective is to take us out from under the rule of God and back under the rule of men who pretend they are better and above everyone else and to have some kind of divine right to play God over our lives. In a future show, I'm going to delineate the five lies Christians have believed that wicked and unreasonable men have used to subvert our constitutionally guaranteed rights. Okay, my dear friends, hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
Do you want ministry that makes a difference? If you answer yes, you need a church ministry that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church makes a difference in people's lives. Lighthouse Baptist Church is shining the light of God's truth to help guide families safely through the moral fog of religious liberalism to the safe harbor of God's truth. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Lighthouses have inspired our best songwriters, poets, and painters. They symbolize faithfulness, bravery, truth. Many families are like ships adrift in a troubled sea. A recent study showed that our teens prefer the traditional stable two-parent family modeled by Ozzy and Harriet in the 50s to the bizarre, dysfunctional family modeled by Ozzy Osbourne. But they have little hope in their marriages will last. The dominant influences in their lives reinforce the message of moral ambivalence that has destroyed so many families in America. Our peer-sensitive kids are constantly barraged by messages of disdain for Christianity. And yet, it is in Christianity that our families can find the help and support they need to achieve the family stability they desire. But there is a lighthouse for the family, shining the light of truth, piercing the darkness of deceit that has settled over our land. And that is why the word lighthouse is in our name. Visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedaravia Road in Santa Maria. Look for the lighthouse. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Love him or hate him, the brain masseur is going to make you think.
Warning, persons listening to this show are exposed to the truth. This has proved to be deeply disturbing to liberals, sometimes causing mental disorientation and distraction. If you are a liberal and operating heavy equipment or are engaged in potentially life-threatening activity, be forewarned. Pastor Scheibach is about to make you mad.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheibach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Well, we're talking about the counter-revolution. Let's consider how Obama has assaulted our Constitution, shall we? Do you remember when he said he regarded the Constitution as outdated? Yeah, he said it right out loud in front of God and everybody, that he believes the Constitution should be rewritten to adapt to contemporary needs and beliefs. These are clever liars. They talk about the fact that when Jefferson wrote the Declaration, they did not have iPads. I mean, you know, stuff like that. They didn't have jet planes or whatever. As if that makes the basic principles of the Constitution somehow obsolete. Let me tell you what has not changed since the Declaration was written. And since the Constitution and Bill of Rights were adopted, human nature has not changed. It's the same today that it was then. And the essential maxim that says power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely continues to be as true today as it ever was. And the Constitution was written with that truism about human nature in plain view of the founders. But the point here is this. Obama thinks the Constitution is an archaic document that needs to be changed to meet the challenges of contemporary culture. The truth is, however, the so-called progressive movement is not progressive, but regressive. They want to go back to an old European-style monarchy. And that is the reason Obama believes like he does. He acts like he owns the presidency as some divine right and can use it to serve his independent notions of what is right. He believes he can pick and choose what laws he will enforce as the executive. He thinks he can create law with the abuse of executive privilege. He treats the Treasury like it's his own personal fund, his own personal money, and he and his family go about the country and the world acting as if they are royalty. He refuses to once and for all satisfy our repeated demands that he prove he is qualified to hold the office of president. Now, I know you think he has shown his certificate, but the fact is, honest and sincere men knowledgeable of these things have testified there is good reason to believe what he has produced is a forgery. And there are other records he could open to us, records every other president has willingly provided to public scrutiny, records that, if opened a year or so ago, would have finally proved once and for all. Whether or not his home country is actually Kenya, as his wife has said that it is, or that he was born in Kenya, as his grandmother said he was, you know, that he is hiding something by keeping his personal records private is obvious, and that the something he is hiding is, in fact, that he is not constitutionally qualified to hold the office of president seems apparent. And yeah, you say it's a red herring. It's a non-issue. It doesn't matter. I get it. I wonder if that's because Romney's got a problem. We'll talk about that next week. He's been able to pull this off because the fact is most people don't really care whether he is constitutionally qualified. He won the election, and that trumps any archaic rule about natural-born citizenship. And voila, I rest my case. Listen. He has created sufficient fog over his eligibility to test whether the people care enough about the Constitution to demand that it be followed to the letter. And he has learned that Americans are at a place now where they don't particularly care whether the Constitution is enforced so long as they get what they want out of the Treasury. Yeah. Unfortunately, I've got to begin wrapping this one up. And, you know, I just got started, but this is so, so important to the upcoming election, and I'll be exploring it for a few weeks. Obama's assault on the Constitution is of critical importance to us. Many of you think, well, it's the economy, stupid. Well, you know what? I say it's the Constitution, stupid. Sadly, it might be true that most Americans will vote for president almost entirely upon economic concerns. I would not be surprised if God does not actually turn the economy around just to prove your wicked heart and to show once and for all that you are a worshiper of the God of Mammon, and that's the God you serve. You know, it's like him to do something along those lines just before he releases the people to judgment. He will prove you. Now, folks, I'm not playing off the recent glowing reports of the MSM over an 8.5% jobless rate and a day or two off and on of the market jumping up a bit and falling down and so on. That's MSM's Marxist Socialist Media Propaganda. And the people know that they don't have and can't find work. They can't come up with a poll that'll cause people who are actually suffering to forget that they're suffering. They know Obama is implementing policies that favor Soros investments in Brazil. Again, sending jobs to Brazil and choking off the American economy. You know, no matter how much the MSM crow about a trend, the people are living with Obama's economy, and they are not going to be fooled, I hope. Now, what I am saying is this. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the God of nations, the King of kings and Lord of lords, could just give you over to believe a lie. You know, he's done that in the past. To erase that as an issue and leave you to vote your values. And I believe you are voting this year. You are voting for traditional American values, God and country. Or against those values and against God and country and against the Constitution. I think that's where the line is going to be drawn. That's certainly where it ought to be drawn. And you'll take your side. The God of heaven and earth will act accordingly. Now, I think I could touch on this point I wanted to make about immigration. It illustrates something very important for us to think about. One of our problems in America is that there are a lot of people voting who, frankly, are not Americans. I mean, even those who are legal citizens are not, in the historic sense, true Americans, and I don't mean legally. Listen, for example, take Mohammed al-Dilyali. He's an Iraqi immigrant, and he's writing for foreignpolicy.com. He says we should not have invaded Iraq. He writes that he remembers a physiology professor teaching him that you never change what is, quote, functionally acceptable, end quote. Now, the question arises, what is functionally acceptable to this Iraqi? who has become an American citizen. Well, before he tells us that Saddam was, in his view, an example of someone who was functionally acceptable, he goes out of his way to explain he does not mean to excuse Saddam's abuses of power. But here's what he says. He says, sure, there were massacres. There were abuses. But hey, we had a good education program, and I did not have to worry about suicide bombers. Think about this. Friends, that scares me because, listen, this is exactly the way many of our young people are thinking today. People who were born here, brainwashed into the counter-revolution movement in the re-education camps called public schools. Muhammad, I welcome you to America. But I hope that soon you will come to realize that for Americans, massacres and abuses of power, well, that's not what we would call functionally acceptable. But you tell me, hey, if you're under 25 and you listen to the show, call and tell me whether you agree with Muhammad. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000 and leave me a message. Leave it on our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States. 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. From outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website and clicking on the Contact Us button. Use thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. If you're in a hurry, you can give me a lights on or a lights off and then hang up. If you will, however, please leave me a message. Tell me what you think of the show, positive or negative. Either way, I appreciate your feedback. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain with stimulating insights.
In the spirit of the 60s, it was popular to despise the organized church. To avoid association with this negative feeling, some dropped the word church out of their name. And in many other ways, they followed the spirit of the 60s. At Lighthouse Baptist Church, we follow the spirit of the Bible, where the word church is used to identify the congregation of Jesus. And that is why you'll find it in our name. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bitteravia Road in Santa Maria. Look for the lighthouse. Call 347-9887.
Heroes are made, not born. At Lighthouse Baptist Church, we're helping families make heroes with our Heroes of the Faith Sunday School, a character-building program that will have an impact on the life of your child that you will notice at home in their improved attitude and character. Call 888-770-8000. Say, I want my child to be a hero. Leave a number where we can reach you. There's no charge for this program. Call 888-770-8000 today.
Pastor Scheidbach is charging the gates of hell. Don't leave him hanging. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com to make a donation or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Gotta have more? We understand. Tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.